So I have a question. Have y'all heard of the term forward thinking? Forward thinking. Forward thinking describes those who are thinking about the future and are planning for the future. Forward thinking. The term's often used in the business world. That's where we see it most often. Forward thinking. It's speaking of those companies that are innovators. They're looking for the next thing, not those companies, not those yet. No, those are the non, and we're about to get to those little rascals right there. The forward thinkers, they're the innovators. They're the ones who are not just caught up in the busyness and the business of today, but they're actually looking to the future. They're actually thinking about the future. They're thinking, looking into the next big thing because they want to be part of it. They don't want to miss it. Those are the forward thinkers. They're not stuck in the past. On the contrary, those companies that aren't forward thinking, that aren't looking to the future and investing in the future, they're losing market share, and many of them are out of business. There we go. They're out of business. I mean, there's some big names on here. How many of you remember Blockbuster Video? I mean, they were it, right? You want to watch a movie at home, you go to Blockbuster Video. I think there were some other companies too that kind of tried that, but it was Blockbuster Video. They're out of business. They weren't forward thinkers. How about Radio Shack? How many of you remember Radio Shack? They just went out of business, didn't they? They're gone. I remember growing up, in little Mount Vernon, Illinois, if you wanted something electronic, if you need electronic parts or little pieces, the only place you're going to get them was Radio Shack until Walmart came in town, right? You know what I'm saying? But they're gone. They weren't forward thinking, stuck in the past. They didn't keep up with the times. Polaroid, they owned the market for photography. I mean, the future was theirs if they were paying attention to it, but they weren't. And therefore, they're no longer. The lack of forward thinking costs them everything. We're going to spend the next several months exploring the importance of forward thinking in the relation to our eternity. Not just tomorrow, not just next year, not just our career, but like our forever. You know what I'm saying? About being forward thinkers and how important that is and how much that's going to determine kind of like, you know, our forever, our eternity. That's going to be our focus for the next several months. Like those innovative companies, we determine to be those who look to the future. We want to invest in the future, not letting the busyness of today keep us from our destiny. And so we choose to be forward thinkers. How many of you are already on board? Kind of see where we're going with this. You're ready to be a forward thinker, right? Come on now. Today we're going to launch into what some might consider a graduate course. And the reason I might even kind of lean that direction, it's really just another series, right? And we're going to study another book of the Bible. But in a way, it's a graduate course because we're going to be studying something that a lot of people ignore, that a lot of people don't spend a lot of time reading, contemplating, diving into, and digging into. We're going to start a sermon series today called Forward Thinking, The Revelation of Jesus, which means we're going to be studying the book of Revelation for the next several months. The book of Revelation. You ready to get our forward thinking on? All right, open up your graduate level textbook, the best textbook ever written, really the only textbook you ever really need to get this life done right. You know what I'm saying? The Bible. Open it up, go all the way to the back of it. It's the last book, not the least important by any means. You know what I'm saying? The last is not the least in this case. But we're going to be opening up right now to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. We're getting our forward thinking on. God's word says this: "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending the angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. The time is near. Man, I'm excited, by the way. I mean, we get to spend months in the book of Revelation. I mean, come on, it's like a gift that we're opening up. I mean, oh man, I'm so excited about this. I'm so jazzed about this. Two primary points that we got to make sure we understand. Two primary points, two big, big, big rocks to the foundation of this book. Point number one that we find right here at the start of this book is that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? Big point number two is this. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you're like, you said the same thing. I know, I got it. Hang with me. We're going to just see how this all fits together. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Revelation, what does it mean? In the Greek, revelation means a disclosure or an unveiling. I mean, so we're about ready to have God unveil some pretty serious, awesome truth to us. He's going to let us see some things that he wants us to see. He's going to disclose some secrets of heaven and eternity to us in this book, because revelation is a disclosure. It's an unveiling. So the book of Revelation, what is it doing? It's unveiling the character and the plans of Jesus, because this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's unveiling, it's revealing, it's disclosing the character of Jesus and the plans of Jesus. Now, some think that the book of Revelation is just to scare the you-know-what out of you. You know what I'm saying? The book of Revelation is in the Bible just so, because God kind of wants to freak people out, right? Confuse people. You know, but that's not why we have this book. That's not why God's given us this scripture. Problem is, a lot of people don't read it because it kind of freaks them out a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And it can be kind of difficult to understand all the images and the symbols and the different things that God's saying, but we're going to talk about that too. The clearly stated purpose of this amazing book, Revelation, is stated right off the bat, and that's this book, this letter, is given to us to reveal Jesus to us, to reveal his person, and to reveal his plans. Let's jump right back to the first words of this letter, where it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. This letter, this prophecy, is revealing Jesus to us. And we got to understand that the primary purpose of this entire letter, this entire book, is that we would understand who Jesus is more. That our understanding of him, our excitement about him, would just explode, would grow and grow and grow, because this is unveiling the person of Jesus. And then it says, which God gave him, Jesus, this revelation that God gave Jesus, to show his servants what must soon take place. And so it's the revelation of Jesus' plans also, of kind of how it's all going to go down when he comes back, what it's going to look like, how it's going to happen. And this is what's awesome too. I love how God's not holding anything back. He's just getting us really excited right off the bat here with this letter. That when we receive this revelation about the purpose, the person, and the plans of Jesus, God's word says that we will actually be blessed. Now, before I read that scripture again, how many of you know that the more of Jesus you get, the more blessed you are? Come on, the more of Jesus you get, the more of Jesus you understand, the more of Jesus in you, the more blessed you are. And so that's what's going to happen as we study the book of Revelation. We're going to get more of Jesus in us, and we're going to be blessed. And in fact, the Holy Spirit said right here to us, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, reads this letter, this book of Revelation. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it. We're going to be blessed, church. I'm excited as your pastor because I'm looking at brothers and sisters in the Lord. I'm looking at a church family that's about to be blessed, that's about to have their socks blessed right off of them. You know what I'm saying? We're going to be blessed, church. we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed because we're diving in to this prophecy. The revelation of Jesus Christ. His person and his plans. You know, we're always crying out for God's blessing. Doesn't it seem like it? I know I do. I wake up, I tell you about every other morning, I'm waking up, oh, God, bless me. God, help me. Oh, God. I'm still laying down, by the way, at this point. You know, can't barely open my eyes. Oh, Lord. My wife will tell you, sometimes she just wonders, what is wrong with that guy, man? He's just groaning over there. I'm just saying, oh, God, I need you today. Help me and bless me. And so, man, we're really good at crying out to God and asking for him to bless us. Even people that don't even walk with Jesus are asking for God's blessing. Well, here's the deal, is that God is showing us so clearly, you want my blessing, I'm giving it to you right here. It's right here. Read this letter. Read this prophecy. Get it in here and get it right in here. And you're going to be blessed. You want my blessing? Here it is, church. That's what God's saying to us today. And so we're grabbing hold of the blessing of Jesus. And we're going to run with it. We're going to run with it. So God's telling us, but here's the deal. So right off the bat, when you read Revelation, it talks about it's going to reveal Jesus and that we're going to be blessed when we get Jesus revealed to us. But isn't it weird how many believers ignore the book of Revelation? I mean, they don't go there. They don't study it. They don't read it. They don't take it in. They don't take it to heart as God is encouraging us to, even when it says right there in verse 3 that you'll be blessed when you do. So often the same people crying out to God for his blessing are ignoring the very thing that he's given us to bless us, his word, this particular prophecy even, the book of Revelation. We're not going to ignore it, are we? We're going to dive right into it. Come on now, church. God's telling us that we're going to be blessed. You know what blessed is? It's being happy in God. That's what it means. We're going to be happy in God because we're studying this book. We're going to be filled with God because we're studying this book. We're going to have the fullness of God all over us and all in us and just oozing out of us because we're studying this prophecy. Because we're reading it, we're hearing it, and we're living it out. So I want to ask you again, are you ready to be blessed? Come on. I'm excited for us, church. I really am. Let's get the revelation of Jesus on right now. It's important to understand. I want to back up a little bit of context. How was this book, how was this letter written? It's important for us to understand that. How was the book of Revelation written? We see an indicator in verse 1 how we got this amazing letter. It says, God made it known by sending an angel to John. So what I want us to understand right here is that this particular revelation is from God. Now, it's given to man, but we got to always understand, we are reading a word from the Lord right here. Not something just made up by man. We're reading something that wasn't just the result of this disciple that Jesus loved, John, who had way too much pizza the night before, and had these crazy, weird dreams and things going through his head. That's not what this is. This revelation is given to us by God. God is the author of this prophecy. This is given to us by God himself. The Apostle John, he's the scribe. He's the tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord gave John an angel to help him write this and get it to us. He gave him prophetic words, meaning words that he directly spoke to John. God speaking to man. We talked about hearing God and us listening and that God is still speaking. In fact, he's increasing the ways that he's speaking to the church. The closer we get to this day of Christ's return, not decreasing. God's not pulling back, man. He's coming in stronger and heavier and harder than ever right now with his church. The closer we get to his return. And God also gave, the author of Revelation gave the Apostle John, the scribe, if you will, of Revelation, he gave him dreams and visions. And we talked about that last week too, didn't we? So as we're reading this prophecy, it was received It was given to man through angels, through prophetic words, through dreams, through visions, just amazing, cool ways that God speaks to mankind, and he's still doing it today. I want to remind us of that reality. We talked about it last week. He's still speaking to his church in these ways. So what do we learn from these scriptures about forward thinking? We're going to look at just three things that are very clearly outlined here in Revelation chapter 1. Number one is this: forward thinkers focus on Jesus and his return. Y'all ready to be forward thinkers? Forward thinkers focus on Jesus and his return. Back to Revelation, continuing in verse 4. John, to the seven churches in the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is, speaking of Jesus, grace and peace to you from Jesus who is, who was, and who is to come. He says this is to the seven spirits before the throne and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. He was the first one to be resurrected, y'all. That's our future too. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. Come on now. Let's continue on in verse 5. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever and ever. To who? To Jesus be glory and power. The focus is Jesus, right? The focus is Jesus. Verse 7. Look, Jesus is coming. He is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. We're not going to miss him. Not going to come and be born in a manger and just a few shepherds and some wise men, you know, come along later and see him. No. Every eye will see Jesus as he comes on the clouds. You won't miss him. Even those who pierced him, who persecuted him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. And so we see a focus on Jesus, and we see a focus on his return, that he's coming back on the clouds. We're going to see him. We're going to know it. Forward thinkers. We're not going to wait for it. We're going to focus on Jesus today. We're going to focus on his return today and every day. Verse 8, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Again, the centerpiece of this book, of this letter, of this prophecy called Revelation is the exaltation. It's the lifting up of Jesus. I loved our worship this morning. It was the lifting up of Jesus. The focus on Jesus, the glory to Jesus, the declaration of the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Blessed are the people who read this, who hear this, who take this to heart, who exalt the name of Jesus and look forward to him coming back. The one who is to come. Furthermore, when the reality of Jesus is front and center in our lives, as the old song goes, the things of the earth, the things that we're dealing with every day, they grow strangely dim. Because the light of Christ, it's gonna make everything else seem pretty insignificant. Forward thinkers focusing on Jesus. We focus on Jesus. All those concerns, those things that we thought were big deals, that were just gonna really mess us up, all of a sudden, man, we don't even see those things anymore. They're not even on the radar anymore because Jesus is our focus. Because his return is what we're excited about. The rest grows dim. Look, are y'all ready for the busyness of life to become insignificant? I mean, aren't you tired of it taking such a significant role in your life, in your mind, that it just starts to mess with you? I'm tired of that. I hate that. When things that just really don't matter mess me up. I hate that. Finally, I snap out of it. I go, what have I been doing, man? You know, the devil wants us to be consumed with the insignificant things of life. That's his goal. Man, if I can get them thinking all this stuff is all that and all so important, then they won't be thinking about what's really significant, which is Jesus and the fact that he's coming back. See, as we become forward thinkers, focused on Jesus and his return, the insignificant things, they lose their power. Because that's not where our focus is any longer. And the significant thing, his name is Jesus. He gets front and center in our lives. And when that happens, we're blessed. We're blessed. You want to know how to deal with anxiety in your life? Focus on Jesus and the fact that he's coming back to make all things new. I want to just challenge you with something. And again, I get to be challenged all week long, so I just throw a few challenges out to you. And I'm hoping that you're going to go back and read this and let the Holy Spirit really take you into deep, uncomfortable places also, as he does with me all week long. I want you to just even begin to think, are there insignificant things in your life right now that you need to let go of? Are there insignificant things in your life right now that are keeping you from the significant one? It's a capital O, Jesus. Are there good things in your life that are keeping you from the greatest? There's a lot of good things out there that we can do. There's a lot of stuff that the world says is good, is important for us to be doing, and we get all busy with those things and we miss the greatest thing. As they said in City Slickers, the one thing. Right? Man, that guy had a long, skinny, bony finger, didn't he? The one thing, see, Slickers, we miss him. But we're going to be forward thinkers. We're not going to fall for that trap. We're going to focus on Jesus and his return. We're going to pursue him. We're going to run to the presence of God. We're going to run to the place of prayer. Not let the insignificant things of life keep us from the place of prayer. We're going to run to the place of worship. We're going to run to the place of fellowship. We're going to run to the Word of God. We're going to run to Jesus and let the significant one captivate us, change us, and give us a joy, a peace, and a hope that this world and even the good things of this world never can do. Speaking of focus, I want to talk about focus a little bit. Isn't there some saying, your focus needs more focus or something like that? Anyway, I don't know. So check this out. So I'm in college back in the day. It's a few years ago, just a couple years ago. And at Baylor University. And, you know, you run with a group of people that are your friends, your buddies, right? Kind of your crowd. And so I'm running with this crowd of people. And all of a sudden the next year, this girl, Velvet, and her friends, they start running with us also, with this crowd of people, and we're doing life together, and we're friends. But then something happened one day. All of a sudden, something clicked, and those of you who've been there, had this happen to you, you know what I'm talking about. Something clicked. Velvet went from just kind of being a friend and one of the crew to like, uh-oh. I mean, I got a little bit different feelings now for this young lady, you know what I'm saying? And this whole love thing started to happen and bubble up in me. And let me tell you what, my focus changed when that happened. When she went from just kind of being one of the crew to being the one, you know what I'm saying, that caused all the pitter-patter and all that, my focus changed, and my focus became Velvet. And all of a sudden, this other stuff that used to be my focus started to become insignificant because there was something a little more significant for me to focus on, not just with my mind and my thoughts to focus on, but like my time. And I started letting go of some good things like studying and stuff like that because I had something better, a little bit greater that I needed to be focused on. Her name was Velvet, right? And I'm sure my professors understood and my parents understood why. Anyway, but what I'm trying to say is this. We understand what it means to focus. We understand what it means for something to captivate us. And we understand what happens when something really captivates us. Our focus changes and we start letting go of other stuff. That yesterday were important, but today they just aren't so important anymore because somebody else has showed up. Jesus has shown up in our lives. And because we're forward thinkers, We're going to look to the significant one, and we're going to focus on Jesus and his return. So number one, forward thinkers are focused on Jesus and his return. Number two, forward thinkers are positioned to hear from God. So I'm just going to preach my message from last week now. Not actually. Verse 9 of Revelation 1. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in... That sounds really exciting, right? That are ours in Jesus. Suffering, patience, that are ours in Jesus. He says that he was on the island of Patmos. Why was he there? He says this, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. Meaning that John was on the island of Patmos, not because God sent him there to preach to the sheep there and to the rabbits on the island of Patmos. He was on the island of Patmos because he was preaching the word of God in the area of Ephesus. And the rulers in that area said, we can't have this word being spread around like this, so we're going to exile this Christ follower guy named John, and we're going to put him on this little island called Patmos and basically make him a prisoner. So he was a prisoner for the gospel. He was exiled because of the gospel. But even, you're going to see, as he was exiled, as the world was pushing him away, as the world was getting him out of the way, he was positioning himself to receive from the Lord. See, whatever your circumstances are in life, and we all go through circumstances where we're feeling like we're getting pushed back, where we're feeling like we're getting pigeonholed, where we're feeling like we're being forgotten, where we're feeling like maybe our life really doesn't matter. I'm going to tell you right now, if you keep your focus on Jesus and his return, and you position yourself in those times to hear from God, it can be the most exciting, momentous moment in the history of your entire life. And it really was for John. Verse 10. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit. Now, I bolded that, in the Spirit. We're going to jump all over that here in just a little bit, as you can imagine. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, John says, and I heard, audible here, I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see, he's going to see some things, and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia. Wait, they're playing in the Super Bowl, aren't they? Dude, man. Wow. Philadelphia and Laodicea. So I want to point this out. So God's saying, hey, I'm speaking to you and I'm going to show you some things, but I don't want you just to kind of keep it to yourself on the island of Patmos. I'm giving this stuff to the church, which is a great reminder that God isn't hiding himself from us. God doesn't hide truth from us. He doesn't hide his presence from us. He doesn't hide his prophecy, his revelation from us. He wants us to know this stuff. He's written it down. He's given it to us so that we can know this stuff. And I want to let you know right now, sometimes we get in those places where we think, I think God's hiding from me. I think he's playing games with me. He's not hiding from you. And he's not playing games with you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to know truth, and he's given you ears to hear. Like John, position yourself to hear from him. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to you and me, even today and tomorrow and the next day. I want to look at this important statement, though, where John said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit and I heard. Check that out again. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit and I heard. John doesn't say, on the Lord's day, I was out cutting the grass that morning and God gave me this amazing revelation, download, prophetic word. John didn't say, you know what, on the Lord's day, I was sitting on the couch eating chips and dip and pretzels and peanuts and the Lord watching the ball game or whatever, and the Lord spoke to me and gave me revelation and vision and all this stuff. It said, on the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit and I heard. Now, God can speak to us anytime, any place. Y'all have been there, done that, right? God can speak to us in any sense. He speaks through donkeys, you know what I'm saying? I mean, God can speak in so many different ways at so many different times. But I'm telling you what, when we are in the Spirit, we have positioned ourselves to really hear. God. Like a whole nother level, like a revelation kind of level. He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and it said that he heard. He heard. Do you hear how intentional this really sounds? He was intentionally in the Spirit. He wasn't leaving it to chance. He was being intentional, purposeful. He was seeking the Lord. He put himself in a position to hear the voice of God. So I got another question for you. Are you positioning yourself in this way to get the revelation of Jesus in your life in a greater and greater measure? I mean, really positioning yourself. I've been to the island of Patmos, by the way, to the very place that they say that John lived and laid his head to rest. The island of Patmos. It's nothing fancy. It's out in the middle of nowhere. Nothing around there. And sometimes that's exactly where we need to go and position ourselves and get in the Spirit. Get in the Spirit. Let the other stuff go and get that focus on God, and let's hear him. Let's hear him. I just don't hear God like those other people. Find that mountain like Elijah we talked about last week. Position yourself. Get in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit just even put you in that place to be able to start hearing and seeing what God wants to say. Number three, the last point. Forward thinkers are determined to believe God. So number one, forward thinkers are focused on Jesus and his return. They're positioned to hear from God. And number three, they're determined to believe God. You know, it's one thing to hear God. It's another thing to believe God. Verse 12, I turned around, John said, to see the voice that was speaking to me. He was hearing the voice of God audibly. And it says, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was something like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. Sounds a little bit better than my voice. That's what he's saying here. In his right hand, he had seven stars. And out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. John is seeing, hearing the majesty, the beauty, the glory of Jesus. He's in the Spirit, and he is being blessed with this kind of experience. And I say, bring it on, God. He's the same today, the one who is, the one who was, the one who is to come, the Alpha, the Omega. Jesus still speaking to the church. This is beautiful. This is amazing. He's in the Spirit. He's positioned to hear from God. And he's hearing and he's seeing him. I want some of that. Verse 17, when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet. I can believe that. I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and he said, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. And he tells John, this is Jesus saying this. He said, write therefore what you've seen, what is now and what will take place later. The majesty of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now we know this. Revelation is categorized as apocalyptic literature. It contains symbols. It talks about the end times. But most of these symbols that we read about in this letter, these things that John saw, they're clearly identified and defined so that we can understand what God is saying. He said right here, the stars, they're angels, right? And the lampstands are the churches and so on. God is not trying to confuse us. He's not trying to freak us out. He's not trying to mess with our minds. That's not what he's doing here. He's telling us what this is. This isn't a riddle. This is actually literally the final chapter of redemptive history. The book of Revelation says what it means, and it means what it says. Not a riddle. When it talks of Jesus coming with the clouds and everyone seeing him, it means it. He's coming with the clouds and everyone will see him. When it speaks of a third of the earth being burned up, it means it. When it speaks of a quarter of the people dying, it means it. It's going to happen. When it reveals a thousand-year reign on this earth of Jesus, it means a literal thousand years. When it declares that the dwelling of God will be with men, it means that Jesus is coming back and he is going to live with us forever. A new heaven and a new earth. This isn't just like, you know, storytelling. This is the real deal. This is God speaking to the church and letting us know what he really means. Those stars are the angels speaking to the churches. The lampstands are the churches themselves. It's not a riddle. It's not supposed to be confusing. But we got to read it. And I recommend being in the Spirit when we read it, letting God really speak to us in this and through this. Forward thinkers don't explain it away. We believe what God says. We don't explain away what God is saying. Just because our minds, even right now, maybe can't grasp it. When we can't grasp it, we don't explain it away. We don't throw it out. We press into God. What are you saying? You've given this to me to bless me. Reveal it to me. After all, it's revelation, right? Reveal it to me. So I ask, do you have a clear vision of what God has planned for you for the future? Some of you are like, man, I don't even know what I'm doing for lunch today. Is your vision temporal in scope? Are you just looking to tomorrow? Or is your vision eternal? Are you living life today knowing that you're living for and investing in a future with Jesus? Is that how you're living every day? Are you focused on the significant one, the greatest, and letting the insignificant and even the good things fall away because he's just captivated you? He's captivated you. Are you forward thinking? Are you Jesus thinking? God has big plans for your life. Bigger than a career. Bigger than another Super Bowl ring, Tom Brady. He has big plans for your life. Big plans for our lives. More magnificent and incredible than we could ever imagine, hope, or even think. And this book called Revelation reveals Jesus to us. It reveals those plans. It reveals his heart. It reveals our purpose. It reveals our place, but most importantly, it reveals Jesus. Things of this earth will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim. God's desire for us as a church as we study this book, this revelation, is that our longing for him would grow, would get heavier and heavier and deeper and deeper. That's his ultimate desire. That our love for him would grow. That our view of him would grow. His desire isn't that we would try to pick apart what we think it is and who's right or who's wrong. No, his desire is that our focus would be on Jesus and that he would captivate our hearts, our lives, and our minds. That's God's desire for his church as we dive into this amazing revelation. I want to ask that we all stand up.